5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, May 4th, 2009, for the Blog Talk Radio Today program. And today we have a special interview with Lon Sapko, the author of the Social Media Bible, which coincidentally is out today. So congratulations. We'll bring him on, and we'll just hit the cue the button. There we go. And Lon, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. How are you today?
Fine. Welcome to the program. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. It's an honor to speak with you.
Oh, it's my honor. It's really exciting to be here today. And as you know, today's the launch of the Social Media Bible, and it's great to share that with you.
Well, terrific. How do you feel? I mean, you know, you're an author of a book that's just coming out today. I mean, were you able to sleep last night? I mean, or how are you feeling today?
A little bit on the tired side. Putting out a 844-page book on social media was probably the biggest task that I've ever done. I've done 5 books in the past, but this by far has been my most passionate.
Good for you. Because, you know, with social media, it's you know, the buzz, and everybody's talking social media. I mean, there's, you know, MySpace and, you know, Twitter, and, you know, everybody's social media. I mean, you know, I do a normal, my normal show is about TV. Even the networks are chiming in. You know, CBS has got a social media series they're running off of a website. I mean, it's, everything's social media. I mean, how would you describe social media?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing the way the media is picking it up. It's showing up in sitcoms mm-hmm. and dramas. And, of course, we all heard about Ashton Kutcher last week taking on Larry King. It's really exciting. Social media is, it's really 2 words. It's social, meaning communicating with friends, family, and more importantly, with customers and prospects. And it's media. It's the convergence of all of the digital technology. For the first time ever, cell phones can look at a JPEG, an email can listen to an MP3, and all of our digital technology is finally communicating so that we have this robust set of tools that's completely interconnected. And we just use it to communicate better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just amazing though. And, you know, cause I talk to people, I live here in Las Vegas, and I go around, still some people don't even know what social media is. I ask them, you know, are you on Twitter? And they're like, what? They look at me like I'm from Mars or something. I ask them that. I mean, what do you think? You think as we go along, people will be more educated about social media than they are right now?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. When I started the research specifically for the book about a year and a half ago, I decided I was going to use social media to design the book on social media. So we actually went out to about 1,000 people, fairly sophisticated demographics, college degrees, $120,000 annual income, etc. And what we found was is 64% of the people we polled could not define what social media was, but 99.1% said that they knew that it was going to have a significant impact on them and their businesses. So to kind of rephrase that, 2/3 of the people didn't know what it was, but 100% knew that it was coming after them. So, yeah, I think that there's a really strong desire. I mean, where are you going to find these such incredibly effective marketing tools? And nearly 100% of it is free.
Amazing. Let me hear a first question from Twitter. The book is out today. Where can we buy the book? Well, you have a website to accompany a book, right? It's the socialmediabible.com. Where else can I purchase the book, Lon?
Yeah, you know what? It's actually available everywhere, which I'm really proud to see. I walked into my local Barnes & Nobles, and it's on the shelf.
Anyway,
is just to go to www.thesocialmediabible.com. And the reason I suggest that is that all of the booksellers, Amazon and Powell and Barnes & Noble and Borders, are all there, and you get a good price, and there's a whole bunch of other kind of free stuff there for you.
Very good, very good. How do you feel? You walked in your Barnes & Noble, and you looked over, and you see, saw your book on the shelf. How'd you feel?
You know, I got to be honest with you. Again, this is my sixth book, but when I saw the social media Bible, I mean, it's 844 pages, my goodness. And to actually
stand out
all of this work, and Wiley, John Wiley and Sons, is just amazing what they did, special cover and art design and the layout of the inside. I mean, really, it's a work of art, I think. And you know what? I was proud. I was relieved. It's just amazing that we were able to pull this together so quickly and really at the right time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You said, you know, you've written multiple books, but I mean, is each one special? I mean, do you still get that, you know, feeling walking to the bookstore, you see it, or, you know, when you finish the book, you send it in, do you get that the same feeling? Oh, it's over with, or, you know, or also the anticipation of today when it's going to be published.
Yeah, you know, that's really cool. I do keynotes, and now I'm speaking almost exclusively on social media. And I travel around the country, and over the last couple of years, I do about 100 cities a year. And whenever I have time, I like to pop into the local bookstores. And it really is. It makes me feel so proud to be able to see something that I've worked on and put so much work and passion into, and be able to see it in Austin, Texas, and Washington, D.C., and Seattle, Washington. And there it is. And then one of the things that I try to do is actually autograph all of the books in the store for the store, because they say they sell better and have more value. So that's kind of fun.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Are they planning a book tour for you?
Yeah, actually, I had my first official book signing this morning at the Arizona International Growth Association, World Trade Association, and that was kind of exciting. It was my first official book signing ever.
Good for you. Good for you. I mean, I know there's usually a book expo, there's several book expos, I guess, L.A. I was at the one last year in L.A. Are the plans to send you to the book expo?
Yeah, I'm actually trying to get back to that, but luckily my speaking schedule is getting to the point where I think I'm actually going to be on the other side of the country during a book expo, because this year I think it's in New York, and I'm just not going to be able to make it. But there's some other ones coming up that I'm shooting for.
Very good, very good. And if anybody wants to call in, you could do so. It's 718-508-9596. And once the phone is answered, you hear a nice British lady talking to you. You press 1 if you have a question for Lon, and then they'll raise a hand on the switchboard, so I'll know you have a question. I see a couple numbers on the switchboard, but there's no hand up, so that means they just want to call in and listen, which is nice too, Lon, because that just shows you they might be out driving their car or wherever, but they're calling in just to listen to what you have to say. So it's a lot of pressure.
That's really exciting. Yeah, please call with your questions. I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about all this new technology. And the one thing I got to say right out early in the interview, honest to gosh, it's easier than you think, and you just got to figure out a few of them to really get a good rate of return on investment of your time.
Again, 800 pages, I mean, that had to be a chore putting that together. So you cover virtually, obviously, it's a social media Bible. It's everything to do with social media. I mean, is that correct?
Yeah, and that was actually one of the toughest things about designing the structure of this book. First of all, it's 844 pages. And John Wiley & Sons is one of the top 10 publishers. Great to work with. Mm-hmm. And they actually started publishing books when Thomas Jefferson was our president. They've been published 202 years. And the Social Media Bible officially is the biggest book that they've ever published.
My goodness. Congratulations.
The tough thing was taking this incredible hundreds and hundreds. I researched over 200 individual companies and technologies and trying to squeeze it down into bite sizes. I mean, when you look at the book and you say, oh my gosh, I'll never get cover to cover. That's not the way the book was intended. You want to know about podcasts? You want to know about live casting and blog talk radio? I am so excited that we actually were able to interview your CEO, Alan Levy, and he just did a spectacular job. And he's actually featured in the book, Best in Class, because this is just the most awesome ability to create your own radio show. I mean, how cool is that? So yeah, it was an awful lot of information that went in, but you only have to read one chapter at a time to get everything you need.
Very good, very good. Yeah, and congratulations for having Alan in the book. I mean, he's a great man. I mean, think how he started Blog Talk Radio to, you know, where, when it started, and, you know, for a while there he was doing the show, you know, he was the only one on the site doing shows, and basically he was talking to himself. And now the site is just blown up. There's, you know, thousands and thousands of hosts and hundreds of thousands of podcasts. I mean, it's amazing what one man could do to really revolutionize social networking and, radio broadcasting, internet radio and podcasting. It's amazing.
It really is amazing, and that's why he needed a chapter. And Blog Talk Radio needed it to be included in there. I mean, look at some of the names, some of the personalities that are actually using Blog Talk Radio. I mean, how else can you create your own radio show and get out to thousands, if not tens of thousands of people? And really, what does it cost to do a radio show?
Nothing. It's free to use the website. I mean, some people spend a little money on the microphone or whatever, but really you just need a phone and be able to dial in. I mean, you can do a show off your cell phone if you so choose.
So can imagine you got your own radio show and it doesn't cost anything. That's incomprehensible.
Right.
That's wonderful. And that's what social media
is. Right. Yeah, social media. It's amazing. I mean, I personally didn't know much about social media until, you know, literally when Blog Talk Radio started. I mean, that was 3 years ago. I had never heard of it until then. So I'm on a learning curve as well. But you mentioned digital convergence. Maybe explain to people out there, because I'm getting questions on Twitter. Exactly what is digital convergence?
Yeah, the digital convergence is that we've joked about the computer industry for decades. I've been involved in it since the mid-70s. And the big joke is that the computer industry has so many standards. Well, that's kind of an oxymoron. You're not supposed to have a lot of standards. You're supposed to have one. And over the last 10 years, we've been trying to kind of figure out what's the best. JPEG, PICT, PING, TIFF. I mean, there were all of these different file formats. But for the first time, websites, blog sites, your laptop, your desktop, your cell phone, your PDA, if you want to listen to a piece of music, every piece of technology will play an MP3. If you want to look at photographs, your PDA will show them, your cell phone, your iPod. So it's finally everybody coming together, deciding on the same technology, and all of this intercommunication, the social interaction now, is available on any technology platform, anywhere in the world, anytime, 24/7, and again, it's free. So that's digital convergence, everybody kind of working together for the first time.
Are you concerned at all about the economy, not only here in the United States, but worldwide, possibly slowing down, the expansion of the social media? I mean, companies don't want to spend as much on various aspects. They want to spend money on a fancy new website or, a social media networking website. I mean, are you concerned about the economy and its effects on, the social media?
Well, I'm absolutely concerned about the economy and the effects that it's having on people. I mean, my heart goes out to everybody who's having a tough financial time right now. But when it comes to social media, honestly, I can't think of a more perfect time to take advantage of an extremely effective marketing tool that's 100% free. So when you look at companies like Cisco, who have taken 100% of their brick-and-mortar, direct mail, telephone campaigning budgets and moved it to social media, and you look at some of these other companies and you look at the rate of return on investment, remember, it's free. The only thing it requires is a little bit of time and a little bit of creativity. I think social media, truly, in my opinion, is the answer to companies being more successful because you can reduce, if not nearly eliminate, your marketing budget and have better results than with the old technologies.
I mean, and also another question coming from Twitter. They're asking a question about Twitter. There we go. Is Twitter a flash in the pan or what? Is Twitter here to stay, Lon, or do you think its days are numbered?
Well, that's funny. I get that question an awful lot about Twitter, and I think part of the reason I get that question is because it is so popular and so many people are using it, but also because so many people really don't understand what Twitter is. I think Twitter is going to stick around. I think the internet's going to stick with us. I think e-commerce is pretty much here to stay. And the reason is, really, Twitter is nothing more than just text messaging on steroids. And by the way, last week I gave a presentation to Jerry Maguire's athletic clients, and that didn't go over so well on steroids. But really, what you do is you create a group. And what does that mean? Well, followers and following. If there's someone that you respect, for example, Robert Scoble. Robert Scoble, I have a lot of respect for. He is on the cutting edge of social media. So I follow him. So he goes to...
Genius.
Oh, he's an amazing person.
Yeah.
So he goes to music.
Chris Brogan, too.
I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm sorry. And Chris Brogan, too.
Yeah, Chris is terrific. I love Chris. And there's a Chris Hewer, the founder of the Social Media Club, and Chris Perillo, techno geek. These are people that are on the cutting edge. You know what? If they come up with an idea and they simply text it, I want to know what that is. If they're in a conference and they hear something that's going to change the way we market, change social media, I get that thought within seconds mm-hmm. of when it actually originated. And I get those thoughts all day but from people that I respect. And the reverse is true. I have about 500 followers. People follow my tweets because every time I have an epiphany, every time I learn something, I simply text message it, and then it gets retweeted, which means literally tens of thousands of people can share that information within seconds mm-hmm. of when that actually came into being. And it's 100% free.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Twitter's an incredible tool.
Yeah, before you get asked, what's your Twitter for people to follow you?
Oh, it's Lon Safko. It's just the @ Lon Safko, LonSafko. And also, if you go to the socialmediabible.com, I was also had the distinct honor of actually interviewing Biz Stone, the co-founder of Twitter. And if so, you want to know how Twitter is used? Go to the website, listen to his half-hour podcast, and for a half hour, you will hear why businesses are benefiting by the technology that was actually invented by him.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting. I always wonder how is Twitter making money? I mean, you don't see any ads on your profile pages, nothing. You start scratching your head, like, okay, millions and millions of people are using this. You're always hearing how they're having to update their servers because they're just getting slammed with traffic. You're going, wait a minute, where's the money? How are they making money off of this thing?
Yeah, and you know what? An awful lot of the web companies, I interviewed almost 50 of the top companies in the world that are doing social media. Three vice presidents at Google, three vice presidents at Microsoft, and Twitter, and MySpace, and LinkedIn. I really, it was an honor. I even actually got to interview, get ready for this, Vint Cerf. He's the person who actually invented the internet, him and Tim Berners.
Wow.
Yeah, it really was terrific. And what I keep hearing from all of these companies is something... and Ning just implemented it. Freemium, which is a bit of a play on words, you get a certain level of basic service for free, and yeah, they actually insert some advertising. And then if you want, for incremental dollars, and I mean, we're talking like $8 a month for Ning, then they simply remove the advertising. And then for another $8, you can actually brand the website with your own URL and backgrounds, and there's no advertising. So what almost all of the social media companies are doing is offering a free service, building up their membership, then adding a little bit of advertising, and then adding the opportunity to pay a little bit just to simply get rid of that advertising. And we call it a freemium business model.
Hmm. Interesting. Oh, we do have a call for you, so let's see here. Area code 520, you're on the air. Hello? Hello? Oh, my hand's up, so. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, I'm Sean. Say hello to Lon Safko, author of The Social Media Bible, out today.
Hi, Lon. It's Rick Gibson.
Hey, Rick. Small world. I'm glad you're connecting with us using social media.
Well, yeah, I guess what I wanted to know is what kind of companies are out there. I mean, what companies are using social media? What are the big company names that so we get familiar with all that's happening out there?
You know, the simple division is that the smart companies are actually using it. And I know I'm being a little cute with that answer, but it was like the internet. You know, the companies who adopted the technology and actually were the first on the internet got a competitive advantage. The companies that first adopted the e-commerce in the mid-90s, late 90s, they're the ones that grabbed the competitive advantage as well. But the companies that are doing it, pretty much every one of the Fortune 500 companies has some type of presence. And the Fortune 2000, it's nearly complete as well. I mean, you get companies like Marriott, the CEO of Marriott. This cracks me up. He's older. He's afraid of technology. He doesn't actually know how to turn a computer on. So he dictates his blog into a recorder, and his secretary posts it. So which, by the way, if you're over 50 and you're afraid of the term social media, there's no excuse. You know that saying, any 9-year-old kid can do it? Well, find a 9-year-old to do this. But, I mean, another successful blog, Southwest Airlines. Oh, my gosh. Dell. Dell was one of the first to incorporate Twitter, was sent continuous tweets to all of the laptop owners who had problems with the batteries. So he diffused a terrible public relations nightmare by communicating instantaneously with every single person who had any kind of an issue with Dell. So the companies are not just using them for customer support, but for communication. And here's the most important thing, to keep your clients engaged in your product and service offering.
Very good. A caller, do you have another question? Or?
No, that's it for me.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, put you on hold, or do you want to hang up?
No, I'm going to stay on.
Okay, I'll put you on hold, Ben. Thank you. And there's another question in the chat room now. We do have a chat room going. Chuck Williams is asking, once ads come to Twitter, will people stop using it?
Well, you know, I think a certain number of people might be offended by advertising. We've seen that with other social networking websites and social media tools. But, you know, the people who really understand the value of what these social media tools are providing, I think will overlook the advertising. I mean, say, for example, I mean, every time you open up a Google page or use Gmail or, you know, any site that offers advertising, we're somewhat kind of indifferent to it. I mean, we pay some attention, but not that much. It certainly isn't enough to stop us from using a Google product. So, I think maybe Twitter will lose a small percentage, but I think the majority of the people who understand the value are going to stick with it because, again, that's a few advertisements is really a small price to pay for the value.
Yeah, it's amazing the impact. I mean, you watch CNN in the afternoon, or actually all day. They're really, I think they're the first big media outfit to really jump on board with both feet into Twitter. You know, all the anchors are on there, Rick Sanchez and all that stuff. You know, CNN, you know, talking about that Ashton Kutcher thing. You know, and speaking of Ashton Kutcher, I mean, a lot of people were on Twitter were offended with what went on there with him. He's got, you know, over a million followers, and yet he's only following like 29 people, and people really consider that out of whack, and he's just using it for his own vanity Twitter. But what did you think of the whole showdown between him and CNN?
Well, you know, I kind of agree with what you're saying about not using it for its right purposes. I mean, social media can go over to the dark side. Not that that's what this is, but there is different ways that you can use it. The one saving grace of the whole media deal there is that they're actually helping kids with the malaria nets, and I'm all for that. You know, anytime you can use any technology to help others, I'm cool with that. But in a more kind of a sterile environment, you know, yeah, there's something called flaming. If you do that, you will get flamed, and that means that the people who really understand social media and take it to heart and want to keep it pure will flame you and send you emails like, that's inappropriate behavior. So, yeah, if it wasn't for helping the kids, normally that would kind of be inappropriate because Twitter is really about two-way communication. It's about following, and it's also about respecting your followers. So, yeah. I'm kind of against that, but it had a good outcome, so let's give them a break.
Yeah. I don't mean to make the whole interview all about Twitter, but it seems like it's such the overwhelming topic these days. I mean, not even 8-9 months ago, it was Facebook, MySpace, all those sites were the big social media topics, and then here comes Twitter, and it's pretty much what everybody talks about now.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely right. And the reason is because of mobile technology, mobile cell phones. When I was speaking with the senior vice president of YouTube and also Flickr, it became really clear that the number that came back is that for every human being on the planet, there's 3 cell phones, which I thought was astonishing. And then I learned that in third world countries, people who cannot afford internet access, who cannot afford laptops, who cannot afford desktops, are simply using their cell phone, and that's how they're connecting with the rest of the world. So cell phone, I think we're going to see the largest expansion of social media tools over the next 3, 4, 5 years. There's no question. So because everyone owns a cell phone, you carry it with you 24/7. It's portable. It's easy to use, and you can connect anywhere in the world. I think that's part of the reason that Twitter is kind of pulling out ahead. But there's also really a place for social networks such as MySpace, Facebook, and especially LinkedIn for business.
it's amazing how many tools, especially the cell phones. I mean, I dropped my landline because I never used it, and I thought, well, you know, I might as well bank that money. I was wasting, you know, throwing away on the landline because I have the cell phone to make all the calls, and if so happens the network goes down, well, I'll just be patient, and when it comes back up, I'll start making my calls again.
Yeah, isn't it funny? Yeah, I'm trying to talk my wife into getting rid of the home phone because the only calls we get are from telemarketers. If they want her, they call her on her cell phone. If they want my daughter, they call her on her cell phone. And if it's for me, my cell phone rings. So, yeah, I think we're going to see cell phones becoming more adaptable. I mean, for example, MySpace just announced about 2 months ago that the entire MySpace and all of its tools is now available right from your cell phone. You don't even need a laptop anymore to change your page or update it or view it.
Amazing. Amazing. Now, user-generated content. Can you elaborate for those of us who are kind of on the outer fringe of social media?
I think we're all on the outer fringe. I mean, honest to goodness, I learn something new every single day, and that's the truth.
You wrote an 800-page book, so you got to know more than I do, I think. I hope, right?
I just did the research. That's what sets it aside. User-generated content. You know, the cool thing about social media is that up until now, for the last 10 years plus that we've been using the internet, almost 15 years, it's always been pontification and not communication. And what I mean by that is that we throw our sales message at our clients, our customers, and more importantly, we bombard our prospects. But for the first time, we've got the opportunity to listen to what our customers have to say. So user-generated content can be you write a blog and you listen to the comments. If your customers are telling you one thing that's contrary to the way your company's doing business, listen to them. User-generated content can also be in the form of a wiki. Wikipedia, oh my gosh, that was the most valuable tool that I used in the writing of this book because hundreds of thousands of people have put in millions of hours making the world's largest bank of information. That's user-generated content as opposed to authority-generated content. So if you ask about the Bible, I got to say the social media Bible really is user-generated content because what I've learned that I put in the book came from other sources, came from literally tens of thousands of people. So you can use a wiki in your company to gather information about your company, techniques and strategies and procedures, and then keep that for eternity. Or you can just simply listen to your customers. Who better can tell you how to sell your product than someone who's already bought it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, another question from Twitter. Social networks, a gentleman's asking, why seems to see that Facebook has overtaken MySpace? Yeah, well, Facebook, I think, what do you think? I mean, is Facebook overtaking MySpace?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Facebook has, I think, 122 million members, users right now. And if you put it into perspective, I believe if you compared it to countries in the world, it would be the sixth largest country in the world over the U.S., over Japan, because there's 122 million people actually participating. And I think part of the reason is that MySpace has kind of always been a friendly, personal, social, interactive kind of a younger audience, which, by the way, most people don't realize that the MySpace is demographic is actually now skewed, and it's over 24 years old, and Facebook is actually skewing up around 34 years old. So it's no more teenagers just posting pictures of their kitty cats. I mean, people are actually using it to do business. And if you are in any kind of a business, you need to participate in LinkedIn. That is a very well-respected business Rolodex.
Maybe elaborate about LinkedIn. I mean, I've heard about it, but maybe a lot of people out there don't know what that is.
Yeah, again, go to the website, listen to Angela Corton, who is a senior vice president for LinkedIn, and she talks for about a half an hour about its virtues. And I love LinkedIn, and LinkedIn also, again, was invaluable for the creation of the social media Bible. LinkedIn is basically like a Facebook or a MySpace page where you can put in information about yourself, your company, what you do, your background, your education. It's kind of like an elaborated Rolodex, if you would, but it's professional. It's really just used for business. You're not going to see squirrels roller skating. It really is a professional Rolodex. And one of the cool things that happened to me was, is that I needed to get to the chief executive officer, the CEO of Linden Labs. His name is Mark Kingdon. And I tried for 3 months to get through the gatekeepers as a business person to make him an offer of doing a half-hour interview for the book, and absolutely hit a dead end for 3 continuous months. And then this one day I was sitting at my desk, and I'm embarrassed to say this, it dawned on me, hey, what if I use social media? So I went into LinkedIn, and I typed in his name, and I found that a local friend of mine, Doug Brunke here in Phoenix, went to college with his best man at his wedding. So I said to Doug, would you please pass this email along to your friend? Ask him to pass it along to the CEO of Linden Labs. And within 30 minutes, I got a call from Mark Kingdon, the CEO of Linden Labs, saying, let's talk. So I asked him if he would be willing to do a telephone interview, and he said no. He said, but I will be willing to go into Second Life and actually sit down with you avatar to avatar, two cartoon figures, and we actually did a one-hour interview of these two cartoon figures. It's available on YouTube. It's the most fascinating interview I ever participated in. But here, in 30 minutes, I got a call from the CEO that 3 months prior I was not able to get.
Amazing, amazing. The chat room's got a couple questions. First one, do you believe that people will microblog only?
No, you know, and that's a nice thing about social media. It's like, will you only talk to people at church? So if you're in a grocery store, you won't talk to anybody? No, social means, you know, anytime two human beings come together, you have a social situation. Every one of the social tools out there, including microblogging, has a specific purpose. For example, why do we text? Well, you know, you're limited to 140 characters when you use Twitter. So you think, wow, how could you really get a message across? Using only 140 characters forces you to be very succinct. You can read those two sentences in about 5 to 10 seconds and get the entire message that someone's trying to convey to you. Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, once said, I apologize for the length of my letter. Given more time, it would have been shorter. Isn't that amazing? When you take more time, you're not going to ramble on through 2 pages with email. So part of the reason that Twitter is successful is I can get very succinct, efficient, 10-second bites of information. Now, if I need more information, email is very, very appropriate. If I need to convey something visually, a web page or a blog, and then in some cases, based on the demographic, well, you know, direct mail might still be the best technology, even though it's not really considered social media. So you have to look at all your tools, and you got to look at really the forum that you're communicating or socializing with other people.
It's good advice. Also, they're asking, what's Lon's take on blogging and video conferencing as a social media outlet?
Oh, gosh. And that was vlogging with a V. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I'm totally cool with that. We're about ready to do, on the 13th, in conjunction with five-star speakers out of Kansas City, we're going to be doing a one-hour webinar. We're going to have a conversation just like this, and we're going to have video set up, and we're going to have PowerPoint set up, and we're going to have close to 1,000 meeting planners from all over the entire continent, all participating in a presentation where we're all sitting in our separate offices in every corner of the United States. You can't do that with any other technology. I mean, and by the way, it's almost free. But how cool is that to be able to watch me? I can look at my audience. They can look at me. You can watch my PowerPoint presentation. And we can do it live with interactive questions. Even sound. You can turn on the sound so I'm actually talking to my audience and listening to what they have to say. Yeah, I think that, especially now with better bandwidth and better telephone communication, I think video conferencing, you know what, 10 years from now, it's going to be built in. That's the only way we're going to talk to other people.
Amazing, amazing. Plus, we all know about the economy and, you know, the shape of some of these companies out there. It really cut down on business and travel and everything else. So these companies could save a lot of money if they just spend a little bit of money on the, you know, the video conferencing and everything else, the tools at their disposal, right?
You know, that's a terrific observation, Sean. That's excellent. I just wrote a blog about 2 months ago called Virtual Presence. And the purpose was is for the speaking industry. You know, I just attended and made presentations for Honeywell, two of them in Florida, and they had about 800 small business people at these presentations. Well, this year is canceled because of expense and whatever. Well, think about this. You're going to take 800 people from every corner of the country. You're going to fly them into a location. So you got round trip airfare, taxis, meals. You got 4 or 5 days of loss of production. And what most people don't realize, talk about the carbon footprint. I did the math in my blog. Go to lonsafco.com. If you fly 800 people into a conference, it's 1.2 million airplane miles. So what's the carbon footprint on that? Forget about the expense. So you can
try
the same people, use a projection screen or even just your desktop, and you can get the same knowledge, the same training, but you never have to leave your office and you don't have to lose 4 days of downtime.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Absolutely right. See, I think we had a call here. Yes, we do. Let's see here. Area code 480. You're on the air. Hello?
Good afternoon. Steve Groves here.
Hello.
Hi. Say hello to Lon. I'm Sean, but Lon's the man of the moment there. His book just came out today. Say hello to him.
Lon who?
Lon Sefko.
Steve.
Yeah, Lon's a good friend. I just called in to support you all in your work. And to let you all know that Lon, the social media Bible community site, is now open over at the Ning.
Oh, excellent. So anybody wants to
give up the address, please.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. It's socialmediabible.ning.com.
Oh, that's cool.
Socialmediabible.ning.com, but no the in front of social?
Nope.
Social media?
No the. It's just Social Media Bible. But, you know, you were talking about the virtual meetings, too, and that made me think of a case study I came across where IBM used the social platform in Second Life and saved over $350,000 in a single conference.
Isn't that an amazing white paper? That's a great case study.
So I wanted to let Lon know that I've been working feverishly on getting the site up, and I think it's ready, so everybody can come over and tell us what we did right and let us know what we might improve.
Good for you. Good for you. Congratulations. I don't think we should be saying all this stuff too loud because I live in Las Vegas, by the way, which makes us money off these conferences. They could be sending a hitman to me any moment now.
Sorry.
Get him!
Good point.
But, you know, they'll figure a way to survive. The casinos will always have. But it's just a matter of fact. I mean, especially you said it's the carbon footprint. You can save on printing out all these flyers and all this stuff. You think all the trees you can save. You know, if you're into this the greening of the United States, how much paper you can save by not having these huge conferences. It's everything video conferencing. I let them send them all emails with the documents attached. They can print them out if they want to.
Absolutely.
That's a great point. And there are certainly things that that we're going to find that online communities like the virtual environment really support very well. But, you know, I don't think the conference business is going to go away. There's just so much that gets done and so much benefit from the face-to-face that comes from the conferences we all go to. So just let the guys know up there in Vegas that there's really, really no threat to their business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We love Vegas. Remember, what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas, okay? So, and remember that what goes on the Internet it stays forever, okay?
That's right. That's right.
And there's a time.
So Vegas becomes a very good option.
And Lon, maybe we'll speak to this. People post things on Twitter or MySpace or Facebook, really, they have to take responsibility for it. Once you put it out there on the Internet, boy, it's out there forever, isn't it?
Yeah, there was a book that came out called The Long Tail, which is a great book. And really, they talk about lots of things, but the gist is, once you put it on the Internet, I mean, honest to goodness, it's pretty much, once it's indexed, it's out there pretty much forever. So be careful of what you tweet. I mean, there's an old joke, you know, never write an email after a bottle of Merlot. So so that's good advice.
I drink a lot of bottles of Merlot, Lon. I don't know.
Yeah, so be real careful. I mean, just use, common sense, because it really does stay out in the ethosphere forever.
Yeah, and I just suggest to people, just remember that you just want to have good manners, because it does hang out there for a bit.
That's right. That's right. Well, caller, do you want to stay on the line, or should we be on hold? Can we have a few more questions?
Well, I'm all set. I'll be tuning in on the other side if I have anything else to say.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And so I had a question. Social networking companies. Here he is. His name is Jeff. I have a startup company that builds surfboards in California. Websites like MySpace and Facebook, are they important to me? I would say so. If you're building a surfboard company in California, what do you think?
Absolutely critical. Yeah, and I can answer that from both sides of the fence. My son-in-law is Jeff Baldwin. They call him Baldy, a professional surfer in California.
Oh.
So, yeah, I could tell you, it's all about network. I mean, it's all about people. You know what? You got to create a presence out there, because when people are looking for you, you have to be out there. If you're not out there, they're simply not going to find you. So it's absolutely critical to have people know that you're there, participate, see the type of company. A blog is a perfect thing for a surf company, because you want to talk about new technologies, new records, things that your demographics are interested in, and you start building this two-way rapport, and of course that leads to trust. And then when you have trust, that leads to sales. And considering that it's free, I mean, why not? Absolutely critical.
Also, I mean, YouTube. Everybody's got videos, up and down. Everybody's posts stuff on YouTube. Yeah. Can a company actually benefit from posting a video on YouTube?
You know, that's another great observation. The one that I love the best, of course, is Will It Blend, a blender company called Blendtec. Do we have time for me to shortly tell you about this company?
Sure.
Yeah, Blendtec. Tom Dixon is the president, and they're based out of, I think it's Orem, Utah, and they have a problem. They make residential home blenders, but they're $650. So what they wanted to find out was they did some testing, and it turned out the number one cause of blender death in America is margaritas. They get drunk and throw the carafe. No. They blend ice, and it burns out the motors. So they were about to release this blender that had a super strong motor. It's 6 o'clock the night before. The president goes down into an engineering, pulls one of the blenders out to test it because his whole company is banking on it. And how do you test a blender motor? So he's looking around. There's nobody in the building. He steps outside, finds the lawn care person, left a rake outside. So he takes this rake, goes over to the blender, puts it on puree, and grinds this 5-foot solid oak handle right down to the metal tines. Talk about the chips hitting the fan. So he feels comfortable. He leaves. The next morning they come in, and I don't know, they call the police. They thought the place was vandalized. They finally find out it's the crazy president. So everybody's like, Tom, do it again. And there was an intern in marketing that said, would you mind if I grab my digital video camera? Because everybody's got one nowadays. Because this is funny stuff. So they sent the secretary down to buy a rake. Probably bought two because they had to replace the one for the lawn care guy. And sure enough, the whole company's standing around. He jams his rake in there. Chips are flying. People are laughing. So this guy goes back to his office, this intern, puts the video up on YouTube. Within 24 hours, 3.5 million views, and they sold out of every single blender that they had in the warehouse. What would it cost you to do a national advertising campaign where your customers actually watched a 1.5-minute commercial for your product? 3.5 million people. You couldn't afford it.
No, simply amazing. It's who would know that grinding up a handle and a rake would.
Yeah, and now that fascinating stuff is called Will It Blend. He's blended diamonds, pens, Barbie dolls, cell phones, video cameras, golf balls, hockey pucks, and then I saw over the weekend
golf balls,
carafe of butane lighters. And let me tell you, that was an explosion.
I can imagine, but I can't imagine. How in the world would you blend a golf ball? Those things are pretty solid.
Absolutely amazing. And you know what? That's the best test for the product, because the customers can see the transparency between the corporation and the customer, because you can see the product is real. If you can blend golf balls and cell phones to black powder, you can certainly blend ice. And that's what other companies can do. Just create some videos. Yeah. Just if you're not in the game, you can't win. So post video. Yeah. Have fun with it.
Somebody else is asking on Twitter, is there a competitor coming up for Twitter? They mentioned Plurk and Blello and all that. Is there really ever going to be a competitor for Twitter, do you think?
Well, you always have that first entry to market advantage that Twitter had. Yes, there's other companies that are out there doing something similar, microblogging. Also, Pounce. I interviewed Leah Culver, who was one of the co-founders of Pounce, which really was the most direct competitor. And I interviewed her the end of November, and December 15th, I got an email saying that their company had folded. So the ecosphere of social media is going to change, much as it did with computers back in the 70s. Commodore 64, Amiga, Osborne, these are all dinosaurs, the TI. Well, you know, there's always that little bit of shaking out. That the best, it's the thinning of the herd. The best is going to survive. There's always going to be competition. But really, competition just proves that you actually have a market for what you're doing.
Yeah. Also, I mean, Facebook has kind of taken on Twitter to an extent because they've added, you know, what are you up to now or what are you doing now on their updates on Facebook. So it's like they're, you know, trying to take a little step into the ring there with Twitter. What do you think?
Yeah, but you know what we're really seeing? What that says to me is crossover, and that's what I want to see. I want to see you to be able to post your tweets on your Facebook page. I want to see Facebook images automatically seismicked or video. I mean, so it's not only the digital convergence, but I want to start to see the tool convergence, and we're seeing that. If you go to lonsafco.com, for example, it takes a while to load up, but the reason it does is all of my tweets are on my homepage automatically. So if I tweet now, within 5 seconds, all of my tweets are updated right on my homepage, and I don't have to touch it. If I post new videos or new photographs, within seconds, it automatically pulls them off of my Flickr account and propagates my homepage. So it's this cross-pollination, this divergence between the tools that are really going to make this exciting.
Amazing. Also from the chat room, they're asking, do you think webcasts and video will become a new take on email marketing?
Oh, yeah, there's absolutely. Yeah, that's another great observation. Sure. People want to see video. I mean, you know the statistics. I don't have to repeat them to you, that how much information is conveyed, because humans are extremely visual people, and then audio and then text. And you know how often text is misconstrued because you don't have inflection or you don't have facial or body language. So all types of video is definitely a great way. I mean, I would much sooner watch a 30-second video from somebody that I know or a product that I'm interested in than to read, you know, 5 pages of text. So, yeah. And then that brings up another really important issue, and that's spam. You know, since the 2004 Canned Spam Act, that's cut down a lot of the spam, all of it that happens within the United States, not necessarily outside of our borders. But we're also starting to see spam happen in Twitter and some of the other social networks. So luckily we've been kind of self-policing it, but I think we're going to have to start getting a little bit stricter when people realize how effective it is, especially video.
Yeah. Well, I wish they'd crack down on those Nigerians. Keep trying to get me to invest my money in their schemes.
I can't believe how many Nigerians died. Must be a genetic trait.
Oh, I'm a princess from Nigeria. I need to, I'm sitting on a family fortune with $600 million. For just to give us your checking account number, and we could transfer a good sum of that money. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's amazing. But at least with the 2004 Spam Act, it did eliminate spam, because you can actually get fined up to $2.3 million for each spam message that you send out in the U.S. But unfortunately, January 1st of 2004, when the act came in, well, that also was the day that most of the spammers moved offshore. So, yeah, be really careful. So we're trying to police spam in social media. We're doing it ourselves. But as people become more aware of how effective a marketing tool it is, we're going to see more and more. It may become a problem as well.
Yeah. Also, they're asking, where do you see things going post-Twitter?
Post-Twitter? You mean after Twitter, where they're going to head?
Yeah, I mean, where things going, you know, social media after, you know, once the big buzz wears off of Twitter. Yeah, I think basically repeating what I said, what's after Twitter?
Oh, what's the next big trend?
Yeah.
You know, of course, if I knew exactly the correct answer to that, I wouldn't share it. I'd go buy that stock. But I could guess with the best of them, I think. One of the things that I've always been passionate about ever since the 70s is three-dimensional internet. Which means information being kind of in a three-dimensional environment, which is part of the reason I love Second Life. I mean, Second Life is a virtual world where you can walk around and interact with real people. Some of the kind of secret conversations that are taking place at Google and Microsoft is creating some kind of a virtual environment where you can actually fly around, walk around, and all of the information that you find now in two-dimensional text is available on a Google search. But how cool would that be if you can go into a three-dimensional environment and actually see images of it where you could walk over and touch and then open and look at and examine? So as bandwidth begins to increase and technology costs, especially LCDs, for mobile phones, and we get into the G4 network, which is fourth generation. That's what that G3, G4 thing just means, third and fourth generation. I think we're going to start seeing more and more three-dimensional representation of information because, obviously, it's the next logical step to go from two to three.
Yeah, amazing. Also, they're asking, what's your take on professional video versus one with a flip camera?
You know, that's one of the most controversial slides in my presentation. I stand up in front of professional marketing people and CEOs that have been in business for 40 years. And, you know, first impressions, you only have one shot at a first impression. And I have
that's
to
right.
say, you know what, if your marketing materials suck, it's better. And not always.
Really?
And there's different markets. I mean, if you're going to send a piece in the mail or if you're going to give a flyer or a marketing piece to a customer, you want it to be professional. But you want that fresh information. For example, again, Robert Scoble, he's at the Fast Company party. He grabs his flip phone. He gets a 30-second video of one of the vice presidents of some company. Tell me what you just announced a couple of minutes ago. That video really was awful. But it had more hits than any professionally uploaded commercial on YouTube. Why? It's real. When you spend $25,000, $50,000 to produce a commercial, a polished Madison Avenue commercial, tell me, isn't there some kind of an agenda behind it if you're spending that kind of money? Of course there's an agenda. But when you use your flip phone, it's real. It's transparent. And the most important thing is it's now. It's within the last few seconds. So I'm a strong proponent of kind of crappy's better.
I never thought, I guess it makes sense. I mean, it looks, I don't know, I mean, be it a very polished ad, it's come across as, you know, phony, corporate,
sure.
The more, you know, lack of a better word, sloppy ads that come across as amateurish or, oh, look, what they're trying to do something, not, you know, something like that. People feel a little empathy towards the, you know, the not perfect ads, you know, something's overexposed or whatever. Right. They kind of feel sorry for them or to a point.
Well, it's slick versus real.
Yeah,
and
real.
Mm-hmm. You know what? We're professional buyers. I mean, we're prosumers because, you know, we know the difference. And we want the truth. We want honesty. We want transparency from the companies that we do business with. We want a relationship. Yeah. We don't want slick.
Yep. That's right. I was just on the Ning site. It's up. It's beautiful. Once again, it's socialmediabible.ning.com. So it's really very nice. Very nice. Congratulations. Great looking site.
Oh.
Also, is there a downside for social media? I think we kind of touched on that earlier, saying that you're responsible for your posts or, you know, make sure you don't tweet in a moment of anger. We saw a couple case studies of how someone or a couple of people lost pretty much all their followers. They kind of went on a rant and they dropped like a rock with their followers.
Yeah, there's two things that you really have to watch out with social media, and that is mostly because it's so easy to use. One is transparency. Mm-hmm. If you're out there and you just are slapping up, I sell this, I want you to buy this, come over and do this, you know, it's like a cocktail party. It's like going to a party, and everybody's in their little groups talking, and you walk up to the group, and nobody knows who you are, and say, hi, I'm Lon, and I sell this, and this is my consulting, and I want you to buy this. I mean, it's unimaginable how inappropriate that language is. Social media is the same way. It's about listening first, participating in the conversation, and then when it's appropriate, talk about what you do, but don't do it as a sales message. And a lot of companies like Walmart and some others got burnt pretty bad using social media. The second biggest problem is social media overload. I mean, we'll use Robert Scoble. Mm-hmm. He had to shut off his email. He was getting too much email. He's following 65,000 people. So I can't get him on his tweets. And if you call his cell phone, he says, don't even bother leaving me a cell phone message. I've stopped retrieving them months ago.
Wow.
So you got to kind of be careful and selectively choose what social media tools are appropriate for you.
Amazing. Say, is there, if there were ten commandments for the social media, ten commandments for social media, what would they be?
Yeah, somebody says you're writing the social media Bible. We need some ten commandments for you. So tongue in cheek, yeah, I actually have ten. And the first one is thou shalt blog like crazy. Blogging is so effective. You can get picked up in the search engines in 30 minutes. If you search social media Quizno Subway, social media Quizno Subway, my page comes up number one, my blog, and it has since December of 2007. I delivered
for
social media Quizno Subway. It's about the lawsuit where Subway sued Quizno for defamation of sandwich. Now, social media gets about 3.2 million hits. And, of course, Quizno and Subway are Fortune 1000 companies. So don't use my name. But I did a test using blogs, and within 30 minutes, I took the number one position for those four keywords, and I've kept the number one position since December 2000. So, yeah, trust me, blog, no doubt.
Who thought those two would be fighting over a sandwich?
Yeah, well... Yeah, you've got to read the blog on my website, lonsafco.com. It's absolutely hysterical. I'm sure we don't have time to go through that story, but it's really funny about what actually happened with the two of them and how social media gone wild and how it worked itself out. The second one, of course, is create profiles. Get your profiles on LinkedIn and MySpace. Get it for your company. Get it for you personally. Get your groups. Because you know what? If you don't, somebody's going to take them. And then when you finally realize that this is important, it's going to be too late and you can't get your name any longer. Or you could probably buy it for $250,000 from a cyber squatter. So create your profiles. Upload photographs. You've got them. They're in a shoebox. They're in a hard drive. Get them up there on Flickr. Again, you're not. If you're not in the game, you can't win. Upload videos. Every company has got some videos. Christmas videos, the Christmas party. People, put a face on your company. Put a persona on it by uploading videos. Demonstration videos. Go out and get some customer satisfaction videos. That will take you 4 hours, and it's free. Podcast. You know what? Create an audio like we're doing right now. Get on Blog Talk Radio. Start talking about what you do. People will begin to follow you. The software is built into your computer. The microphone's built into your computer. It's all free. And Blog Talk Radio is free. Shame on you if you
there
don't
you go.
Create audio. Set
That's
alerts.
Right.
Find out what people are saying about you. People are talking about you, whether you know it or not. So either you can not know what they're saying or you can, and you can simply address it. So that's free. Go to Google Alerts. Set up your name, your company name, your product names. Number seven is comment. Participate in other people's blogs. Show them that you care. So show them that you're part of the group, that you're contributing. Number eight is get connected. Get on LinkedIn. Get on Facebook and MySpace. Invite people to connect. Ask them in your emails. Put your LinkedIn and your Twitter accounts on your emails. And encourage people to connect with you. And number nine, explore social media. All I'm asking for is 30 minutes once a week. Friday morning, go get yourself some coffee, shut the door, and just spend 30 minutes and pick out a keyword, podcast, vlog, live casting, and spend 30 minutes just to learn a little bit about it. Get the social media Bible and read that particular chapter. And then the last thing is just be creative. The reason BlendTech got 3.5 million viewers in 24 hours is that was creative. That was clever. It was fun. It had a strong what's in it for me. In this case, the what's in it for me was entertainment, and that's plenty enough to be successful using social media.
Amazing. Simply amazing. Well, Lon, anything else before we let you go? Thank you for staying so much longer than we had originally planned. Who knew, right?
This is totally cool. And I think, you know what, if we stayed on for another hour, we could probably fill that too. Thank you so much for having me here today.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And we urge everybody to go right out and get the book, Social Media Bible. Lon S. Safko, the author, available all over the place, Borders, Barnes & Noble, pretty much everywhere where fine books are sold, correct?
Absolutely. You can get it online or you get it in the brick-and-mortar stores or from the socialmediabible.com website.